Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome back into Mining Stock Daily. We have a corporate update with Meridian Mining today. But before we get there, let's take a quick look at the numbers because we're finally starting to see a little bit of a bounce, not only in the precious metals and in the base metals and copper, but also the juniors showing a little bit of life after a tumultuous sell-off here. Well, I guess you could extend it the last couple weeks. Gold currently trading futures basis continuing month at $18.05. Silver trading $23.62. Copper getting a nice bounce as well. That's at $4.23 continuous month futures basis. So happy to welcome back in Mr. Gilbert Clark, who's joining us from the road. He just landed in London. He's got a little bit of a closet for a hotel room, but hey, he's got an internet connection. Gilbert, thanks for joining us, my friend.
Thanks, Trevor. Thank you for having me back on your show. It's very good to be here. Hi to everyone from London. I can assure you that with COVID, the prices of London hotels have gone down, but the size of the rooms has not gone up. Tiny.
well, at least Meridian has a little bit of a bounce today. It's up about, I think it's 8% last I checked. I mean, Meridian has not been, you know, it's acted in accordance with the rest of the junior market here. Little fears about growth here on the macro scale, having its push down on commodities. Gold's been hanging in there, but unfortunately the miners and the juniors, Gilbert, haven't been following suit with gold. But we'll see how the rest of the week progresses. This really is a conversation on the news release that the company published this morning on the borehole electromagnetic results out of the Cobasal West area, which is part of the greater Cobasal copper gold project. This is really interesting. You and I have had continuous conversations about using this technology to really help define further exploration work, including future drilling. But there's a greater, grander story here of what this is showing. So, you know, let's hear it from you first. You know, tell us about these results here from hole 38, and I think it was 58 as well, and really what you're seeing.
Well, we're pretty happy with what's going on. With hole 38, that was we're just targeting an old BP anomalous copper gold anomaly in the 1980s, and we drilled it. And as listeners remember, listeners investors remember, a couple of months ago we bought some quite expensive, you know, for a small junior electromagnetic downhole and surface survey equipment because we didn't want to have a risk that would miss something. And that was quite good because just prior to doing, and as we were doing 38, we did a surface survey over Cobasal West and we detected quite a large conductor. And that was interesting because at the same time, the historical airborne survey of 2007 also detected a conductor. So we drilled hole 38. And as we said, we put in context, we intercepted I think it was about 18 meters at approximately 0.7% copper equivalent. And then when we ran the borehole tool, it detected an off-hole anomaly, which means that the conductor was not within the sulfides that we'd intersected. It was below and dipping down towards the Cobasal West conductor. So that sort of started to get our hairs and our arms up because when we say drilling in Cobasal, the main deposit, we always go through a layer of sort of lowish grade material or medium grade material, 0.8, 0.7% copper, 0.9% copper equivalent. And typically we've then gone into a higher grade zone beneath. And then when we run the big borehole EM tool within that drilling, we get a conductor in the high grade zone. So that was super interesting for us. And then we collared. The first hole we did on Cobasal West was 53, but unfortunately our Brazilian drillers proved to be as every bit as frustrating as Canadian or Australian drillers, and they made a small mistake and they had to redo the first 230 metres. And then we drilled down and we're expecting from our surface survey, we expected the conductor to be somewhere around 380 to 400 metres down the hole. And we went through disseminated and some vein material. It was quite anomalous in copper and gold, zinc and silver. But we've got a very experienced team using good equipment. And we looked at this mineralization and said, look, there's nothing there to generate an EM plate. So what we did is we pulled the casing out, and we ran in PVC piping because, you know, the actual tool that you put down the hole is worth about probably about $50,000-$60,000, and I don't want to lose it. It's not only the cost of replacing it, but the 4 or 5 months to rebuild another one. And that detected a big conductor. So this conductor, this Cabocel West conductor, has been detected not only by airborne or surface survey, but by borehole EM survey. And that was really interesting. So we had two holes that had sulfides, anomalous, in some cases, say for 38, actually assayed copper, gold, zinc, silver, not too much lead in 38. And then we had XRF into hole 58 was saying you've got a very similar mineral assemblage, probably in some cases stronger in zinc. And I was chatting with Adrian, and I said, Adrian, what about the AMCD 15, number 6, the hole that was drilled in 2015? It was a wildcat hole. They didn't do any preparatory EM surveys back in 2015. If we project that, where does it sit? Because we've got the assays and everything for that. And it was it was about 150 meters to the southeast of hole 58. It finished at 400 meters. It intercepted sulfides, copper, lead, zinc, etc., gold. And that the projection, the model of the projection of the plate actually passes underneath it. So it's super exciting for us that we're seeing three holes that have vectored this area. One, we're going to deepen. We're now going through the process of coring out the drill bit, the PVC piping. And for the technical guys up there, I think I appreciate we had to get some specialized drill bits from borrowed in just to make sure that when we chip out the PVC piping, we take it all out, because if you do that incorrectly, then you can gum up the coring drill rod. So we're doing it very correctly, which is standard good practice. But we're in this situation now where this conductor, CD58, which is quite extensive, over a kilometer in strike, has three holes overlying it that actually show an indication of a VMS system, which is potentially a new VMS system in the basin, which is a fantastic scenario to have. One of the other things, Trevor, that people have asked me about is they're saying you're hitting it about 470 meters. And that's correct. But we're targeting about one third down the conductor. The conductor actually up dips to about a shallow depth of about 200 meters. So it's a really exciting time that we're coming to potentially another whole VMS sequence. We're going to see what the final result is in the next few days. So I think it's going to take us 3-4 days to bore out the PVC, maybe a bit longer, and then we'll keep drilling down to another 35 meters. Pretty frustrating when you stop a hole just to do a check and you find out the target's less than an Olympic swimming pool below you.
right. Gilbert, kind of some follow-up questions. When in relation to this historic hole 15006 that you mentioned, using that electromagnetic borehole, do you need to go out and kind of twin that hole again to redefine it?
No, what we're going to do is we've got the GPS coordinates, and we've got a team out there now sort of scraping back this topsoil. If we can actually find the collar, we'll re-enter that hole, and that will save us 400 meters of drilling, which is, you know, that's a lot of money, probably $40,000 or thereabouts. So we get a saving for our shareholders. We can clean it out and then just drop it about another 50 meters and get another platform to do a borehole EM survey. That hole was drilling the airborne EM survey, and I've drilled a lot of EM conductors in my time, and I've always said that you'd never target a wildcat and airborne EM survey. What you do is you drill a platform down into the conductor, and then you probe the hole to see where your target's going to be. And this is what we've done. So, but for our shareholders and supporters, it's very interesting that this has been confirmed by three separate types: airborne, surface, downhole survey. I've got no false positive stratigraphy. I have not seen any massive graphite or anything like that that could cause a false positive. And all the holes in Cabasal that I've drilled and then probed and hit high-grade copper, well, the conductors are always associated with the high-grade copper. So it's a really interesting time for us. We've got a big system there, so we're going to have to do multiple holes. We've sited another three holes to be put into this project, into this part of our project. But as I've said to the our listeners over the last couple of months, Cabasal is incredibly interesting because I've got the company Meridian has got an entire VMS system. It's got a standalone asset with Cabasal, and all the near, you know, the low-hanging fruit upside is there. It hasn't been mined out. And we're seeing this now with a conductor that's less than 200 meters below the surface. And we're going to be drilling that in over the next week, 10 days. I mean, it's a great opportunity to really develop a major copper mining camp for the company. And we've got the expertise and the capital market experience to do it.
Yeah. So you and the companies certainly feel like you are on the verge of a new VMS type style mineralization discovery at Cabasal, but there's some regional, regional influence, geological influence here. And just 11 kilometers to the southeast is Santa Helena. Is a VMS massive sulfide project. You know, I mean, so this isn't just, you know, something that appeared out of nowhere. There is some regional significance.
Yeah, there really is. Santa Helena was mined between late 2007, 2008. And prior to mining it, they flew the airborne EM survey. And it was interesting because it was a zinc-dominated VMS pile, like a massive sulfide pile. And it did not generate a conductor. And we looked at a lot of the photos, and we can really see that the sphalerite, the zinc mineralization, is encapsulating the more, you know, the massive occurrences of copper. So that's really interesting that how that we can have potentially. And that was only a small deposit. It was about 1.3 million tons. It was there's a compliant pre-mining compliant resource. I think it was 1.3 million tons, 6% zinc, 1.3. copper, 1.2 gold, ounce and a half silver, and about 0.6 lead, but no EM anomaly. So we've also got IP, and these things, we have our own IP equipment, and these will show up with IP. And we've looked at this, and we definitely have to follow up using all the available geophysical tools and the drilling to actually say, listen, Cabasal West, which had a more of a low conductivity of some 60, 70 simians. Well, Santa Helena had no conductivity. And I've got zones in Cabasal, the main deposit, which has gone, say, 15 meters at 4.9% copper equivalent, yet its conductivity is quite low. So we've got great geological information, regional and local. And now by making that investment in modern geophysical equipment, both the IP equipment and our electromagnetic surface and downhole equipment, we can really start to unlock the geophysical characteristics of this belt. And then we can, by doing that, we can then go forth and really start to develop what we know is what we think, what we hope is going to be a really major copper producing field.
Oh, the proof sounds like it's going to come through the drill bit. Is that correct? Okay.
Absolutely. Look, there's a devil in the detail because, you know, A, we're still drilling out Cabasal. You know, that is just a standalone asset, and we're very confident on, or we are, we don't really have confidence, we just got fact. With Cabasal West, we're going to put a hole into it. It'd be absolutely fantastic. We hit pay dirt straight away. But even when we go through and drill that, we're still going to go down and you bore hole, again, with a borehole EM survey, and that will then vector it in within the conductor where the highest conductivity is, which is normally associated with your greatest concentration of connected sulfide mineralization, of sulfide being, you know, copper, pyrrhotite, pyrite. So that's really interesting. So even though we're pretty excited, we're still methodical. It was frustrating that we had to experience some of the normal risks that's associated with drillers putting incorrect drill strings into the hole, which caused the snap, but we made up for it. And Maybe we could have gone another 35 meters, but it was always good just to pull back, check. Okay, you are right. And now push on. So it's a really exciting time for us. A little frustrating. But, you know, this is what the mining business is about. It's about not taking risks. It's about being methodical and making discovery. And then through discovery, creating wealth for our shareholders.
Yeah, you had mentioned something to me this morning before we started recording about kind of some details that you have always taken away from your experience in private equity and using and allocating capital to, you know, some of the things like this electromagnetic borehole, some of those tools. You know, I'm just kind of curious, you know, with your vast experience in private equity and resource development here, Gilbert, you know, what are some things that maybe shareholders should know that Meridian can do differently or is doing differently than, say, most later exploration projects throughout the world?
Look, you don't take risk. And this is why we picked up Cabasal. And when you have to start an exploration, because this, I mean, Meridian is not a exploration company. It is a resource development company. We have a resource. We have an asset we are developing. And if you're going to invest, like we could have just kept on using a consultant, but the equipment was substandard and the cost was going to be equivalent to a new but much more accurate system. So we thought, okay, we'll bite the bullet, we'll acquire our own equipment so that we know that when we go to survey the EM, the borehole, the surface EM, we don't have a risk with that might be associated with inferior equipment. And because if you start taking risks like that, you then start taking risks with your shareholders' equity. Now, you have to maintain your equity, and you've got to be very wise in how you deploy your capital. And groups don't always really appreciate that. Junior companies on the venture exchange, by nature, the venture exchange is a venture. And I think maybe, you know, you go there to deploy and have a return, a multiple return. And very much now with the asset base that we have with the Cabasal project, Meridian's equity is a more of an investment than a speculation. So we're very happy with that. I can bring it and with the board, with Charles and John and Mark Thompson, we can bring that experience of sort of managing quite significant sums of money to a company that has a project. I can't give you a comparison in the junior market. In the mid-tier market, I can give you that comparison. And very much in that mid-tier market, their risk mitigation policies are pretty strict, aligned with what we're doing. But that's what you've got to do. If you're in a junior company, okay, look, junior venture company that's exploring, from my perspective, some of these exploration companies, you invest as much as you want to lose. Asset companies are a completely different situation.
Gilbert, thanks so much for your time. Best of luck there doing your marketing endeavors there in the great city of London, and do hope everything goes well for you and the team.
Okay, thanks again, Trevor.
Yeah, that's Gilbert Clark from Meridian Mining. They are a sponsor of Mining Stock Daily, and I am also a shareholder. They trade on the TSX Venture with MNO and also on the OTCQB with MRRDF. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak to a licensed financial representative before making any investment decision.